Really privileged to have Dr. Sahil Gupta with us this morning. First off, he's an interventional pain manager with SIH Brain and Spine Institute in Carbondale and our guest this morning. First off, Dr. Gupta, I really appreciate you sharing your time with us when I know you're very busy.
Hey, Tom. Happy to be here.
I have been talking about this subject, and you seem to be really primed for this, and I wish I'd met you just a little bit earlier, because there's been a second order of effect when it comes to COVID-19, and sometimes it's involved not seeing pain specialists or getting the medical help you need. And what we've seen is people kind of, well, overdosing, self-medicating themselves during this time period with some devastating side effects.
I totally agree. So this is just a culmination of two epidemics or pandemics colliding, in which people who have chronic pain and have been getting treatment for that through various avenues, not just medications, now don't have access to those other avenues. For example, like physical therapy or surgical options or interventional options. And now they are only getting one choice, that is the medicine. And that is fueling the opioid crisis that we have been fighting for a long time.
You know, it never occurred to me till you said it. We already had a problem. And then this new problem that's intersected with this, COVID-19, has taken another problem and exacerbated it. And it was interesting, in the previous conversations, I had difficulty finding numbers that kind of illustrated the point. And you were able to supply these to me, and I really appreciate this. Suspected overdoses increased in March 18%, 29% in April, and 40% in May, gathered through an overdose detection mapping application. The question is, are we seeing addicts with a pre-existing addiction or people that had a pain management problem? I mean, do we know where this is coming from? Is it more psychological or physical?
So there are multiple reasons, and let me just touch upon all of those that you talked about. So the first point is people who have had addiction issues in the past. So those people who are currently suffering from addiction, their supply chain lines got interrupted, and now they are trying out new and other stuff, which could be more potent than they have experienced in the past. And that is one of the reasons that overdose have increased. Second point is, due to the social distancing measures that we have taken, a lot of times when people have overdosed, there's nobody with them to call 911 or to give them a Narcan shot. Narcan is the medicine to reverse an overdose.
That's
so
interesting.
That's the other reason.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, and you know what's interesting? Because when I hear you talk about the unexpected outcomes, I think of fentanyl illegally acquired, with federal figures supplied last week, an estimated 36,400 have died from fentanyl and opioid overdoses in 2019.
Exactly. So what happened was, when CDC came out with guidelines to decrease opioid prescription by providers, our death rate decreased from 2017 to 2018. Our death rate for the first time in decades declined from opioid overdoses. However, we saw from 2018 to 2019, it rose back up because of this illegal fentanyl coming into the U.S. Now, comparing 2020 to 2019, we have seen a surge of these overdoses, which is partly because of the COVID epidemic as well.
See, and this is interesting that you brought up this isolation aspect, because there, once again, that psychological aspect creeps in isolation. Not only is there somewhere to help you and maybe monitor you and give you some type of reassurance and help with your addiction issue, you find yourself alone and with access to this pain medication, which hopes you'll make it. I often thought, Dr. Gupta, that happiness was the absence of unhappiness. And now I'm wondering sometimes when it comes to pain, whether really happiness is the absence of pain, no matter what it is, psychological or whatever, and opioids afford you that luxury.
Yes. So, I mean, you make a great point that isolationism is actually fueling our addiction crisis. a lot of addiction is fueled by isolation and other psychological issues like depression and anxiety. And with currently, because of the lockdowns and everything like that, a lot of our people have lost their jobs, and that does affect their mental states. And there are times when folks can resort to taking opioids or the pain medications to help with that.
Right. We keep chucking things in the void and hoping it'll make us feel better, when actually it's pretty natural to feel disoriented under the current circumstances and unhappy. And then we're unhappy because we feel that way, but it's actually a pretty natural response.
Yep, because we don't have a frame of reference for the situation we are in right now. The last time we experienced this was in 1918. And so a lot of us, or most of us, don't have a frame of reference as to how to react to this pandemic. There is so much uncertainty going around because of COVID-19. A lot of us don't know how to react. Even us in the scientific community don't know how to react.
Right. Okay. Now that we've kind of outlined this problem, I want to tell you a short story before we get on the next part. I was talking to another medical professional, I guess about 2 weeks ago, on phone, and we were talking about opioid addiction. And they said in their office what they had done is they had gone back and looked at some of the original promotional material that came out with these opioids, synthetic opioids. And sure. And it was amazing how prominently it was mentioned that there was no addictive problems with these drugs. When you look back and know what we know now and look at what they said about the drug 15 years ago, whatever it was, he says, I can't imagine these companies aren't eventually going to be in some really deep trouble because they grossly misrepresented these drugs. How do you feel about that?
So, Tom, that's a good point to make. So what happens is there are two sides to the story. So one is, has the science not developed enough? Like, you would know, heroin used to be used as a cough medicine in the early 20th century.
Right.
But since then, science was developed, and we figured out that obviously it's not helpful. Now, these companies, we have to figure out if when they were representing it, was the science not developed enough, or they were actively misguiding us. So if that was the case, if the latter was the case, then I believe there should be legal repercussions. But if the science was not developed enough, then that's a different story.
And then we'll have to find out the truth about what one way or another while this progresses, because we've already seen people cough up some pretty large sums of money in respect, but that was all poor COVID-19. Our attention's changed. All right, now moving forward, where do we start here when it comes to seeing this issue? Like I say, pointed this out, if you're just joining us, I'm talking to Dr. Sahil Gupta. He is with the SIH Brain and Spine Institute in Carbondale. We look in April, 29% and 40% in May in suspected overdose increases. What can be done?
So first we have to reverse a lot of the changes that happened due to the pandemic. So for example, pain can be treated by a variety of methods, and most prominent amongst them is medications, physical therapy, injections, and surgery, as well as mental and behavioral resources. But because of the pandemic, stuff like physical therapy and mental and behavioral resources were really hard to get because there was a lockdown, people were socially distancing. So first we have to figure out the safe ways to do those things, to get back to where we were before COVID-19, to try to get people back into physical therapy in a safe and sound way, to get these resources, mental and behavioral resources, back to people. That's number one thing. A lot of people who have pain today, which started today, about 80% of them will get better with conservative therapy. That would include physical therapy, some Tylenol, and if they need behavioral and mental resources. 80% of those people can get better with any new pain. So first we have to reinstitute those measures that we know are tried and tested and successful. We have to get them back.
All right. What about, this is one of the stories, and when marijuana dispensaries were kept open, one of the reasons they cited was because people need this for pain management and medical application, and specifically opioid addiction was mentioned. Is marijuana, has it ever shown any promise in dealing with the type of things that you and I are dealing with? I mean, has anybody ever put the science to that?
So the science is still developing in this, and as you know, science moves really slow, so there's not a clear answer. There's arguments on both sides of this issue, so I think we just have to wait and watch to get a final clear answer on marijuana use for pain.
It's interesting that you mentioned physical therapy. Having been physically pretty badly injured, and I didn't want to go to physical therapy. And the fact is that when I did, and I still use those therapy techniques to this day because they help. I blew out a knee pretty badly. Right. Fortunately, I'm a radio announcer, so all I got to do is get to my chair and I'm in pretty good shape. But I can tell you that taking a bath, getting in and out of the shower, getting in bed, any of a long list of other things was very unpleasant. Physical therapy made it bearable, and I didn't use pain medication. And you go just a short period back in people's history, you go to the doctor, you had a tooth pull, here's a bottle full of pills. And now you go to the dentist, and it's a much more managed pain medication, a lot less powerful drugs. We've seen the medical field react. But south of the border is still supplying a lot of this bad stuff.
Yeah, so you're totally right. Physical therapy makes a big difference in recovery from pain. And this science has really developed and accelerated in the last 10 years. Before that, if people told us we are in pain, we would give them more pills and more medicine, and that actually would cause them their function to even deteriorate further. However, giving them physical therapy rather than medicine and pills, it has shown to improve their function as well as improve their pain. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, aftercare, I think, has been underestimated on almost every front until just the last few years. We did some of it, but not like we do now. It's really become a discipline in and of itself. We see the virtues of it. Aftercare is a big deal.
Exactly. And what happens during surgery is as important as what happens after surgery. Physical therapy and recovery and getting back to where you were is equally important as the surgery or procedures itself.
All right. Now I'm going to put you in a difficult situation. It's a situation okay. I've already been in. And I'm talking to a man who's just around a little over 50 years of age. He works for a living with his hands, carpenter, construction, roofing, all that stuff, right? And he tells me point blank, doctor, I can't go through the day without 10 of these pills. I can't do it. I'm sick. I hurt. I can't do it. Now, while he's talking to me, it's late in the day. He's already pretty deep into his dosage. I do not see any really effects that I can, and I've known the guy for a long time. You know, and I'm wondering, you know, if you're doing 10 of these, and I didn't get into the details of which pill and how much, but I'm pretty sure it was an opioid synthetic. I know that which one it was. I don't know whether it was OxyContin or whatever the case. And I can't help but feel like I should have said something, for one thing. I know I did say something because he wouldn't be talking about it if he wasn't concerned. But yeah. I know I didn't say anything of substance besides listen. I mean, we got a guy who works for a living. He's got four kids. He's got a wife. He's got a house. He's got a job. I can't do what I have to do to support my family without these pills because I hurt. What does that person do?
Well, the first step that person has done is already acknowledge that he is taking all 10 pills a day to do his job. And I think that's a huge first step. The next step is to seek help and resources that we are able to provide to help people in such situations. First of all, you have to understand that you have to empathize with people and see and understand that they are in a situation which they have to support their family, and they feel that this is the only way they can do it. However, there are various other ways we can provide to decrease their pain or help with their pain with a little buy-in from them as well. Buy-in as in functionally,
right?
To believe in our process, to believe in physical therapy, and also believe that what we are doing is in their best interest. And slowly but surely, we have seen this happen every day, again and again. These people get better and are able to come off of the opioids. This has happened again and again, and I see it every single day with my patients. If you empathize, if you understand where they're coming from, these folks get better. My patients get better.
Dr. Sahil Gupta, final thoughts. Pain pill addiction. We referenced this. The figures were released last week. Nearly 76,000 drug overdose deaths, increases in cocaine, meth, still over half at 36,400, opioids and fentanyl. And people will often text me, well, I'm doing an interview like this, and why do we care? They're drug addicts. Let them die. The people that I've met are functioning adults who are out right now supporting their essential workers in some case. I think people, that we have a pigeonhole of who this person is, and I think if they probably spent a day in your shoes, they would know that it is a cross-section of Southern Illinois' population.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head. These people, this addiction issue is actually a mental, and there are resources, psychological and behavioral resources, we can help these people. And these people need help, and we are happy and excited to provide that help to all these people who are suffering from addiction issues.